Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Cannell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is Real Reflections of Body Image. And our leading lady today is Chris Wojak with Chris Wojak Photography. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joni. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to dive into our topic today because it's such an important one. Let me just tell our listeners, first of all, that Chris is a wedding photographer here in San Diego, and she specializes in documenting how people relate to each other. Really interesting stuff. But one of the reasons I wanted Chris to talk to everyone today is because she has some very interesting insights around body image. I mean, we have images of ourselves up on social media every day, and we have that elephant in the room, Chris, and I wanted to get right into that. The elephant in the room about, you know, putting up our YouTube videos and putting up our social media platforms is how do we look in our bodies and how important is that to portray to others? And so you have a great story. Can you share what body image means to you and how it's played an important role in your life?
Absolutely. So I've undergone kind of a remarkable physical transformation within the last few years. Wasn't always intentional, but I went through a divorce a few years ago, and as part of the process around that, leading up to it and following it, I realized that I had, among other things, taken my feelings about my body to such a negative place that I wasn't allowing myself anything good anymore. I think it started when I was a little younger and started to gain weight, and I started to say to myself, well, I can't wear shorts anymore. Shorts are for skinny people. And as I continued to gain weight, I had a couple babies, and I had, you know, a mommy belly from that. And by the time my youngest was two, I had expanded this denial to a place where, you know, I couldn't have ice cream because that was for skinny people. I couldn't have girlfriends that I went out for a fun night out because I'd have to get pretty, and getting pretty was for skinny people. And I just was denying myself this entire range of existence because I felt like my body was wrong for it and I had to punish myself for something. And I was just miserable. At that point, I was a little over 300 pounds. I felt like people were prejudging me based on my appearance. And that sort of created a cycle of self-doubt that was hard to extract myself from. And at some point, I think it was in a conversation with a friend where she may have mentioned something like, you know, what would it take for you to deserve anything nice? You know, kind of calling me out on my own behavior. And I went, huh, that's an interesting question. And I started kind of trying out what would happen if I just let myself live the way that this skinny fantasy person in my dreams would live. What if I just let myself have a massage once in a while? Or, you know, what if I just let myself, you know, shirk my responsibility for an hour in the afternoon and go for a walk or something? You know, what if I let myself buy some nice new clothes and just tried to find a way to think positively about myself as I try these things on? And it was interesting that my body started changing in response to that. I realized that I had come to a place where the only nice thing I was allowing myself was food, and I was trying to fill every hole in my life with that. I don't think all of us necessarily use food that way, but I think a lot of us, a lot of women deny ourselves something and we fill the painful void in our life that's created with something else that's maybe less healthy for us. But I feel like as I've been losing weight, so now I'm substantially smaller. I'm smaller than the average American woman is. And it's been interesting to me to see the differences in the way that people treat me, noticing that I wasn't imagining some of the microaggressions and hostilities that I thought I was before, but then also seeing how bringing my confidence to the situation can sort of diffuse that too. I think it's become an important talking point for me in my work to talk about the importance of giving ourselves nice things and being kind to ourselves, because I'm realizing what a massive quality of life difference I've gotten out of that. Whether my body had changed as drastically in response as it did or not, I just feel like it's such a gift not to be hiding constantly anymore. And I really would love to do whatever I can to help other people discover a way to stop hiding if they are.
Wow, interesting. I mean, hiding in so many ways, even in the photography arena, right? You're talking about getting your image out there, but even just getting out of your house.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A lot of us have really deep-seated shame about our body, and I do think that our media exposure compounds that. You know, we had talked a little bit, I think, about body positivity in reality and then performative mm-hmm. body positivity. So there's like, you know, when you see the Dove commercials or whatever, and they've got all these ladies who are all different sizes and they're beautiful. They're all beautiful, but also like they're all kind of fitness models. Even the really plus size ones don't really have any visible cellulite, which is great. I'm so stoked for them that they, you know, that they have the bodies that they have, but I'm also stoked for me that I have the body that I have, which is covered with cellulite mm-hmm. and loose skin. And you don't see bodies like mine in commercials, and that to me feels like we're kind of lying to ourselves about whether we're really being body positive. There's nothing any less beautiful about my body than about any bodies we see on TV. But I really believed differently for a long time, and that sense of shame, it just keeps us from getting a chance to experience the world.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I remember back when I was studying in my graduate work in psychology and social psychology, and they would have studies on self-esteem. And the way they would manipulate it is to, before they would do the experiment, they'd have somebody try on bathing suits. And that would give them low self-esteem. No matter what body type you have, people always look at themselves going, oh, you know, like something is wrong, you know, with this part or that, you know, even no matter how skinny or large, whatever, you know, people always have that issue of looking at their body. So everything that you're talking about here is so interesting, that people tend to suffer, especially women suffer from this such a great deal. And I mean,
absolutely.
One of the things we were talking about, yeah, you were also talking about confidence, and you know, obviously it affects confidence. Well, how does it hold people back? I mean, what else are people not doing because of their fear about their body image?
Well, I think there are a lot of things we're not doing. I think as women, I mean, I definitely in no way mean to negate the power of, you know, sexism in our culture over the years, or you know, the mm-hmm. patriarchal standards for where women are supposed to find their roles in the workplace. Those are absolutely the overarching, the primary things that we face opposition in the workplace. But I think that sometimes we can kind of be our own oppressor, because I definitely in the past, and I know other women who have in the past, almost demoted ourselves. You know, there's some sort of a promotion that we could potentially be up for, and we may automatically rule ourselves out because we're too old or because we're too fat. And, you know, we know that people think fat people are stupid, or we have some lie that we've picked up, probably someplace in public, probably someplace culturally, that we continue to tell to ourselves. And we're afraid of bringing ourselves to a place where a spotlight might be shown on us, because then everyone will look at us and they'll all see the shame that we have. I think a lot of women do let their self-image keep them from doing important things. We had talked a little bit about different experiences that you and I have had, hearing from women who say, you know, I really want to have a YouTube channel, but I'm afraid I'm too old and people see it and they'll see my age and feel like I'm not relevant. Or, you know, I was saying I had heard a similar message from someone who was looking for headshots where she said, I haven't had pictures taken in years because I'm aging and I'm in denial about that and I don't want to record it. But refusing to record ourselves isn't going to stop the aging process. You know, like we just are the age that we are, and all of the wisdom and experience and life lessons that we've picked up over the years roll into that. And if you can see from a wrinkle or two that we have all that experience, that's really nothing to be ashamed of. We have things that people need to hear. And if we want to say them, you know, we can't let the lies we're telling ourselves about our appearance hold us back from saying them.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, I could go on and on about our youth-obsessed culture, but this idea that women, especially who are feeling that they're getting some wrinkles or looking a little older, are afraid to get out there on social media and various platforms, really, it seems to we're going to be missing out on a whole group of our society who's very important, and you said has that wisdom. I mean, have
Absolutely.
You seen this happen? Yeah.
When we look at men, I think it's very much, I think it's worth unpacking why it is that when we see men developing gray hair and, you know, creasing and, you know, sometimes even a little sunspot adds to the appearance of age. When we see men pick up all those hallmarks of age, we start to call them distinguished and, you know, gentlemanly and stately. And, you know, we have all these lovely, very complimentary words that we use for aging men. And for some reason, we won't quite allow ourselves to apply those to women. But if those things are true of men, if they become wiser and better leaders and all these things as they age, then they must be becoming true of us too.
yeah, just maybe.
Right? I think it's really worth asking ourselves why we allow it for one gender and not the other. And it's time for us to stop that.
Well, just briefly, I mean, we have talked about, you know, the male experience. They're perhaps not feeling it the same way that women are in terms of their body image and not subjected to the same pressures. Have you done any work on that?
So one of the reasons why I haven't done a lot of exploration of male body image issues is that I'm a cis female. I was born and labeled as a woman at birth, and I still identify that way. So I haven't really had experience with the issues that men face, but I know that they do experience them. It's been really interesting to me seeing as people are more publicly transitioning genders. That's a place where I do see a lot of discussion of that from men, that I see people who were incorrectly identified as male at birth who are moving into their correct identities, who are saying, you know, now that I'm in this place where I have to talk about all this weird stuff anyway, can we please talk about how male body images are killing me? But it's not my story to tell, and I don't feel like I'm in a place yet where I can give verite to that voice if I try to pick it up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's totally fair. That's interesting, though, that you are seeing it come out as people are making transitions, and that might be where the spark is to get the conversation going.
Yeah, I think a lot of men are stifled by it too, but I don't think that they hold themselves back, because I think one thing men do get from an early age is self-talk that says they're not allowed to have feelings about that and they have to push through it.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question that's been burning in the back of my mind here, because your website for your photography has a mantra on it that I think is really important to share with our audience here. And it is, you cannot love people unless you are willing to fully see them. So what does that mean to you? And, you know, how do you fully see someone, Chris?
Oh, that is such a lovely question. Thank you for asking it. That mantra kind of came about as a result of some ongoing conversations I have with a friend and mentor of mine, Uchechi Kalu, who is just a breathtaking poet and has such a lovely way with words. We were talking about at this wedding a while back, which is blogged on the website, where the couple had two different wedding ceremonies. They had one that was a light ceremony that was for their friends and family, And then they are a couple that's part of a polyamorous community. They have a lot of aspects to their lifestyle that are very difficult for some outsiders to understand if they won't take a minute to sit with it and think about the work that these people have done in their lives to reach the decisions that they have. And they mentioned how concerned they were when they were looking for photographers that, you know, whoever they hired might not see them with love and respect. And the more we talked about it, the more I was like, you know, I kind of love this idea of having the two different ceremonies, because these are people who are celebrating their entire lives, not just, you know, the pretty Martha Stewart side of things, but like also their sexual relationships and some of the things that would be a source of shame for other people. They're living inside of them. And I just thought how freeing that must be. And that really transformed the way that I try to approach difficult situations. I feel like I've always tried to celebrate people. But I think I'm realizing as I go through life how much comfort there is in having friends who know your dark secrets and love you anyway. I don't expect every client to, you know, lay their dirtiest laundry at my feet. But I think that when people come to me and they say, you know, I'm very nervous about being photographed because I have crooked teeth and I feel weird when I smile. I'm very nervous about being photographed because I'm 40 years older than I was the last time I was photographed and I'm afraid I'm going to look like an old crone. You know, people have real concerns about seeing themselves in images. And it's in order to make somebody really look beautiful, you have to love them. It's much easier to see a bad photo of yourself than it is to see a good photo of yourself, because it's much easier to take a bad photo. You
know? Interesting.
There are so many lighting and angles and how close the camera is to your face and whether you're moving or whether you're eating. Like, I've seen a million bad photos of myself and they're fine. But if I was someone who's already kind of afraid to be photographed, I think the understanding that, look, just because you don't usually like photos of yourself, that doesn't mean you're not going to like these photos. I think that matters. I think knowing that I'm sitting here on the other end of the line going, cool, okay, you're 40 years older, let's lean into that. Let's find all the stuff that's beautiful about that. I think that there's a freedom that comes when somebody takes all the things that you say you're ashamed of or that you're worried about or that are sources of a self-esteem hit for you. And then to see all those things reflected back in a way that's beautiful, I think is very freeing. It gives you the antidote to shame, and that's what I'm after. I want to fully see people, because I feel like if all I show you is the stuff that's light and easy and simple to get, then you're getting the same thing that everybody who ever takes a picture of you will give you. But if I show you something that's all of that and also the things you're afraid of and still looks good, then you can be free. You know, I mean, you still have to do all the work around it, but I can help you get started.
That's like a true artist. That. Yeah. I mean, it just sounds so much more interesting, too. I mean, you know, my show is all about real life, right? I mean, here we are talking about how empowering that can be to somebody and that just to be authentic, right?
Right.
To be out there and to be captured as authentic. And that is one of the things I was also thinking about in terms of the marketing aspects. You know, it's like, do you want some clone of somebody with a smile and, you know, bright lipstick on, you know, with a perfect hairdo, you know, with a flat iron done whatever it did or something like that? Or do you want like you out there talking from your experiences and sharing that information with people? And what do you believe? You know, I mean, that might be a question too for the people who are the audience, you know, when they're looking at these images, what do you believe when you see these images, if there's somebody that looks real or not?
We're hitting a point. I think that Instagram culture has become so strong and so prevalent that I think we're hitting a point of a swing in the opposite direction. And I think that as much as I hate the word authenticity as a buzzword,
mm-hmm.
I can never be too authentic, you know, I think that if we look at the real meaning of the word authenticity, I think that there has been a certain amount of authenticity missing in the way that we market for some time. And I think that people are getting sick of it. And I think that it's making us unwell to constantly be showing all these perfect images of everything. It's like, you know, if Sunset Magazine portrayed our whole lives, right? Sunset's great. They do great images of houses and great images of yards. But, you know, they had a whole professional team come and clean everything up before. So it's like house porn, right? Mm. But with Instagram, it's like we're getting that from people's whole lives, you know. I think that there's something about moving back into a space where you go, no. I'm not always perfect. You know, I put a picture of myself up a while back. My assistant photographed me at my home. And I put a picture up, you know, with my hair all wonky and I've got chipped fingernail polish on it because I always got chipped fingernail polish on. I was like, whatever, this is how I am. I got so much traction on that on my social media channels from people going, gosh, it's so good to see you, you know?
Interesting.
I think it's a relief to people. I think it's a relief to people to see imperfections on others and see that they're fine.
Yeah, I was even just thinking differences too. I mean, okay, I hope I'm not stepping over the line here from my producer's perspective here, but I was at the mall with my daughter yesterday, and we walked into a lingerie shop. I won't tell you which one, but there was like this big sign up said the perfect shape for the bras. And I was like, what is a perfect shape? I mean, doesn't everybody have, like, aren't there different shapes? Why would there be one that's ideal? It just seems so bizarre to me. But if that's the culture that we're aiming for, like, oh, we all have to look the same. No wonder people are lacking in confidence and not wanting to get out there.
Exactly. When the idea of the perfect shape, I remember hearing messaging about that from the time I was very young. I think I still do, you know, like we talk about, we have a lot of discussion about corrective elements to our grooming and our dressing, right? I have really ruddy skin. All of the makeup and cosmetic stuff out there that is marketed towards people who look like me is about corrective color, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying corrective whatever carries in it the argument that I'm flawed, right? There's something wrong with your skin, Chris. I made something to fix your skin that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with my skin. I'm red. I spend a lot of time in the sun. I'm just red. But we do the same thing with body stuff. If you open any fashion magazine, there's almost guaranteed to be some page in it somewhere that tells you how to correct your body shape. Oh, you pear-shaped your stuff that'll make it look like you're not. If you're pear-shaped, just be a pear. It's fine. Lots of people like a big fat butt. You know? I do.
Yeah.
if you're pear-shaped and you have shame about it, maybe look around at the people around you who are encouraging you to feel that shame, or look at your media consumption that's encouraging you to feel that shame, and think about whether putting those voices down for a little while might make your body actually okay.
No, I mean, you actually raised a point, which you've talked to me about previously, too, is like, who are you hanging out with and how are they making you feel in response to your body as well? I mean, that's, both online, right? We've got these larger communities, but even just the people in our lives, are they being supportive or negative toward you?
Yeah, and it's not to say, oh, lock yourself in a you know, bubble of praise, you know, never spend time with people who challenge you, but just ask yourself if the people around you are challenging you or nagging you, you know, like sometimes when people don't feel good about themselves, they have to make sure you don't feel too good about yourself too, so you don't get cocky and leave them, right? Those are not good people to have in your life, you know. Sometimes we can't avoid it, but at least we can be aware of the toxicity of that behavior. When I dropped a lot of weight, I went from a size 26 down to a size 10. My body's not any better or worse now than it was before. People definitely make it clear to me that they have opinions about it. But it's been interesting to me to see that, I mean, I still, if I'm thinking about who are the women in the room that I identify with, I still identify as fat. I think that the experience of being treated a little differently does change your perspective on that. I definitely am more aware of the biases that other people face now. When I hear African-American women talk about microaggressions that they face in the workplace, I believe them because I know what that feels like just a little bit. Like, I've tasted that flavor, you know, and had the experience. They're facing it every day. Doesn't matter how they change their body. They're always going to have melanin. I believe them now because I've experienced a little bit of it. You know, I'll always identify that way. But a lot of the friends that I had who were bigger before really have struggled with whether or not I can still be their friend when my body is changing. So it's not always necessarily people who are trying to get you to change. Sometimes when you do start making changes, people who are in the place that you were feel really uncomfortable about the idea you would leave it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting toward the end of our time. I want to save a moment here for you to give advice. Yeah, Chris, I mean, like, you're talking about all these challenges. And, you know, I think this is really important, especially for younger women, you know, who are dealing with this and they're shaping their own lives and their attitudes and their ways of being. So what kind of advice do you have about developing a healthy outlook for these younger women?
Well, one of the things that I think is really helpful is talking about these things. I think that shame is most powerfully wielded as a weapon against us by others, by advertisers, by ourselves, when we keep it in the dark and we let it fester. And the best thing we can do is just have a conversation with our friends. You know, sometimes it could even just be complimenting each other. I regularly like to catcall other women when I'm driving around if I see someone who has really well placed out. Somebody did it to me a few years ago. Someone just drove by and yelled, "You look fabulous!" And I was like, "Dang, I do. Thanks." Mm-hmm. But I try really hard to do that because I feel like the more I look for things I like on other women, the more I can like them on myself too. If you're someone who struggles a lot with accepting yourself and who struggles a lot with self-confidence issues, an exercise that I performed for a long time, I haven't done it in a while, but that was really helpful for me, was to spend a little time in front of the mirror every day and try to find one really nice thing to say to myself about myself and mean it. And at first that was hard, and it started with, well, I have nice eyes. My eyelashes are pretty. I can give myself that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then over time it evolved into, my belly's a little saggy and it's a little punchy, but it's like that because my baby is there. And that's like, that's so home, and it's so cool. I get to carry that around all the time. You know, with time, you hit this point where you're like, I even like my stretch marks because they tell a story, and it's my story, and I like it. But you have to be willing to spend that time with yourself and look at yourself and project that love onto yourself, and it'll become real and it'll grow inside of you.
Oh, that's so interesting. It just sort of has this flash in my mind of the scene in Jaws when they're on the boat and they're all sharing their stories about their scars. And you're just saying our bodies tell our life stories. And
they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. There is no shame in that. Yeah, there's no shame in carrying your story around with you. It's cool.
Yeah, I know once a while back, I had some veins pop out in my leg, and I was complaining about that to my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, this happened.
Too.
Yeah, and I said, this happened because I was in a car accident when I was 18. And he said to me, he said, Joni, you are lucky to be alive. I saw that car and how wrecked it was. You should be happy. And I had to really shift my way of thinking about these veins, going, wow, that shows me that I'm lucky to be alive.
Right. Yeah. My varicosities remind me of my grandma's. And every time I look down at my ankles, I especially have them around my ankles now, some spider veins around my knees. And when they first showed up, I had a little panic attack about what does this mean and whatever. But now when I look down, I'm like, you know, my legs look a little bit like my grandma's did when I was a kid. And I can think of all the years I spent clinging to those legs and how strong and wise they seemed and how those marks were all the marks of wisdom and age to me. And now I have them. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, this is a great way to wrap up our show. I mean, this positive energy here of seeing your body and remembering all the greatness from your own self and your lives and the wisdom that you've attained throughout time. And even on the younger bodies, you know, we still have some marks from various times and for life to come, too. So,
absolutely. And even if we don't, you know, if your body is markless and performs perfectly and does all the things you want it to do, it's great to have a moment of recognition of that and just revel in it, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just do a quick sign in here, see if anyone wants to contact you after our show. What's your contact info real quick?
Oh, my website is Chris Wojak, that's chriswojdak.com. My email is hello@chriswojak.com, or they can reach me at 619-500-4270.
Okay, well, to our listeners, if you didn't catch Chris's contact details, we'll have her information listed in our show notes. And I'm going to have to wrap it up and say that's our show for today. I'd like to say thank you to Chris for being our leading lady. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is delightful.
Yeah, and a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.